Hello, I'm Mike Moen from WNIJ News. We're here today to talk about economic development in Northern Illinois.
I'm Chuck Sweeney from the Rockford Register Star, and this is a new production of WNIJ and the Register Star, where we talk to area leaders about various issues of importance to our listenership and readership.
And I'm Jason Anderson, the Economic Development Director for the City of Rochelle and the Greater Rochelle Economic Development Corporation.
Jason, I'll throw the first question at you.
Rochelle has been in the headlines a lot over the past decade for a lot of development deals and groundbreakings. We have the intermodal facility, the Nippon Sharyo, that gets a lot of attention,
yes,
especially from the Chicago media. Local leaders cite Rochelle's accessibility, the interstates, the rail lines, but some of the town's economic achievements go beyond transportation. What are some of the other elements that make Rochelle attractive to the business community?
One of the things that Rochelle's been known for many, many years, of course, is this transportation assets and infrastructure, the interstate highways, the railroads, and so on. But, really, there's a lot of places across the country who have a lot of that type of infrastructure. But what makes Rochelle so different is the concept of Team Rochelle. We, many years ago, put together all of the folks that are such stakeholders in the city of Rochelle, our elected officials, developers, investors, landowners, farmers, those who all have a stake in the future of the community. And it's the cooperation and the collaboration of actually knowing how to leverage all of these economic development assets that makes Rochelle unique and successful.
Is that something we don't see a lot of? I mean, not to ask you to criticize any neighboring communities, but
sure,
looking at it from a general perspective, when you have communities, especially the size of Rochelle, mm-hmm, is there not a lot of communication between economic development and, say, county leaders, city
well,
leaders?
Well, I can tell you that from my previous career, which was with the Senator Peter Fitzgerald, I was the Northern Illinois Regional Director for him, and I traveled 25 counties in Northern Illinois. And I can tell you that I could assess within 5 minutes when I drove into any one of the communities across Northern Illinois whether that community was going to succeed, progress, or if that city was going to fail. And, of course, it shows through things like cracks in the sidewalk, weeds growing up, streets are in disrepair. And what probably is the most significant indication of a community that's going to fail is when you open the door of the village hall and the person who sits behind the counter there, whether it's the village president or the village clerk, looks at you and says, "What do you want?" That attitude and the way in which that community is being led and governed tells a lot about whether that community is going to succeed or whether it's going to fail. That's what I've witnessed and seen throughout my career.
Jason, Rochelle has had transportation advantages for a long time.
100 years.
And yet the explosion in development to maximize that resource has only taken place in, the last 25 years or so. Explain what happened.
Well, I think the thing is that the community leaders that have led Rochelle for a long, long time had a tendency to say, we want to plan for the future. We need a plan. We need to know where we want to go, and then we got to put together a plan to get there. And so when we started looking at our utilities, we started looking at water. Well, how big are the water lines and where do the water lines go? How big is the sewer and where does the sewer go? What are our capacities? How are we going to be able to attract new industrial development, attract good paying jobs to our community if we don't build the infrastructure? And so what's gone on really in the last 20 years is the city has really taken a very aggressive approach to building the roads, upgrading the roads to truck route status, and building all the key infrastructure.
And the city also built its own railroad.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah, 30 years ago, when we had these two mainline railroads that come through, and again, this is all about infrastructure, is that the creativity of my predecessor, Mr. Ken Wise, said, why don't we see if we can get the two railroads to stop in Rochelle? Well, the way to get them to stop is to build your own short line railroad, connect the two railroads together, and then start an industrial park. And we did that. Another thing we did, that was 30 years ago, about 15 years ago, Rochelle Municipal Utilities said, let's start deploying fiber optics.
Right.
Now get that, fiber optic cable, mm-hmm, around the community, because the internet is going to be a powerful economic development asset, and we need to be a wired community. So we added the internet, became our own internet service provider, our own ISP. And then about 5 years ago, we said, building on the back of that fiber system, let's build our own business and technology park and let's attract high-tech industries or high-tech businesses. And it all starts with infrastructure.
In the past, recently, Rochelle leaders have said while the city has had plenty of success landing some big development deals, there's been somewhat of a struggle to attract commercial businesses for local shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
What is the city doing and what can be done to address that?
Well, they've actually been doing quite a bit. You know, I look at economic development as a three-legged stool. The one leg, of course, is the job creation industries. The second leg is the commercial and retail. And the third leg is the residential. And you got to have all three of these grow at the same level. Ideally, you do. The commercial and retail side was very, very strong in Rochelle in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It then began to disappear as Del Monte left their corporate office in Rochelle. So we've had a void, but it's changing. And it's changing with the onset, like it does in most small communities, is the Super Walmart development on the east side of town. The Petro development that occurred probably 20 years ago on I-39 has been there, but we've had this about a mile and a quarter gap. Well, the Super Walmart's there. Now today, Kishwaukee Medical Health Systems is building a clinic. Swedish American has built a clinic. We've got a new Pizza Hut, new Taco Bell, Jimmy John's. We're starting to backfill now with the commercial and retail on the east side of town. It's been a really interesting dynamic because the industries had to come. The infrastructure had to come, then the industries have to come. Now we're seeing the retail come. Now the third and last thing we are now starting to focus on is the residential development.
One of the things that I've tried to write about over the years is that, you know, communities are part of a regional economy.
Yes.
And there was a statistic that you shared with me one time that I'd like you to talk about. Your community has less than 10,000 people.
Yes, it does.
But how many people come into Rochelle to work every day?
Yeah, we think that the daytime population in Rochelle is probably something close to 20,000, maybe more than that if you count just the people that are coming in, stopping, eating, staying overnight or whatever. But the idea here is that, honestly, it's amazing because of the fact that you're at two interstate highways, north, south, east, and west. 75% of the people that work in Rochelle don't have a Rochelle zip code. Over 50%, probably close to 60%, don't even live in Ogle County, which, of course, is where Rochelle is located. So we are a regional center for commerce. And we are drawing people from all over the region, Rockford, Mendota, DeKalb, Sterling, Rock Falls, Dixon, La Salle, Peru. These are, of course, all connected to the interstate highway system. And so workers where jobs have been disappearing in those areas are starting to gravitate to Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
Although because it's so easy to get in and out of Rochelle, we don't necessarily have people moving here yet, but we do have them working here, and that's significant.
We talked about earlier about what has made Rochelle successful in terms of some of your economic development achievements, and you talked about comparing it to what others might not be doing, but what can other communities who might see what Rochelle's doing and want to emulate it in some sort of way, what do you think that they could take from what you're doing and make their community successful?
Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to an attitude. It really is. One of the things that's amazing in Rochelle is the cooperation that elected officials give the economic development effort. Our city council has been tremendous in allowing us to do the things that we do. You got to be willing to take some risks. Sometimes communities are very risk averse and don't want to spend money on economic development projects, but if you picked up the book, and if you've ever read the book called Boomtown USA by Jack Schultz, that's my Bible. That's my economic development Bible. And in that book, it talks about, I think, 400 small towns that have turned themselves around and become places of business or points of destination. It's the idea that, and this is where I think we're going in the future for economic development, is that you need to become a more regional type of organization. We just started the DeKalb Ogle Workforce Consortium. We've got to get leaders and elected officials who are elected by a small constituency to think beyond their constituents, working together. With this consortium, DeKalb County Economic Development, Greater Rochelle Economic Development, Kishwaukee College, we have taken the barriers down. And we're starting to communicate and collaborate and looking at how we can leverage the resources we have in the region.
When you talk about the regional approach, is there still, at least in this region, is there still some resistance to that? I mean, you talked about, you know, when you go to these individual communities and while you've done that on the job in some of your past jobs,
But is there some resistance to that, or do you think that, generally speaking, communities in this area want to harmonize in terms of attracting business?
You know, I don't look at it as a situation where communities want to resist it. They just don't think about it. They don't have a mindset for it. They don't have a vision for how the region could become more effective. I've been to a number of meetings at the federal level for the Department of Commerce recently that says, you know, as a government agency, they don't want to deal with, I don't know how many economic development entities there are in the country, but let's say there's 20,000. They don't want to deal with 20,000. They want to see these regions like DeKalb and Winnebago and Ogle and Lee County, Stevenson, Boone. That area has a lot of synergy, and they want to see those groups kind of become one and thus have more of a one-stop shop in which to deal with the officials in that region. The problem is our political system adds nothing but division. You got legislative direct districts. You got city-county districts or boundaries. And we've got a system that does not lend itself to thinking regionally. So we need to break that. We need to change that. We need to be very intentional about that.
The Rockford area has not been known for the ability to work together on things. However, there have been some successes. Most recently, Woodward Incorporated is building a brand new campus up in Loves Park, and it will employ up to 1,500 well-paying jobs in engineering. I think there's some hesitancy about whether they can attract the kind of people that they need, seeing as Rockford keeps getting on all the wrong lists. Talk a little bit about how a community becomes more attractive to middle-income people coming into it.
Mm-hmm. I think not just middle-income, but people that are on the higher end of the income.
There are people that have a higher education and are
right.
looking for a lifestyle
right.
that intrigues them and
right.
makes their intellect engage.
Well, if I was king for a day, and I could change the things I want to see changed, one of the things I would do is I would take this, I'm going to say this six-county area from Boone, Winnebago, Stevenson, Ogle, Lee, DeKalb counties, and basically put together a plan to market the whole area. When you look at the natural resources that are here, you look at the Rock River Valley, you look at the schools, you look at the technology that's being exercised here. I've actually had a conversation with Woodward Governor. I had a gentleman I was introduced to, and we started talking about this. We started talking about how you got to market the whole region. I then took the opportunity to go meet with a gentleman in Denver, a place called Metro Denver, 9-county economic development organization, 30-some municipalities, 70-some investor groups, and they market the Denver region as one group. And it's fascinating to see how they bring the clusters of businesses, aeronautics, energy, aviation, agriculture, and they have a coordinated and collaborative effort to promote the region. And I understand Metro Denver says they promote themselves as being the only true regional economic development organization. And the gentleman I spoke with from Woodward introduced me to this. I went to Denver and went and spoke with the people. And I tell you what, and they've been at it for 20 years. I said, how do you keep the elected officials from going rogue? You know, a new mayor, a new county board. And he has a method for how to deal with that. But I can't share with it because he'd kill me if I told him. So the idea is that there are ways to do this.
Yeah, you don't tell them what you're doing.
No, not always. But I'll tell you, I know that there are some success models out there. The Rockford area is so ready, I think, for a renewal. And I think that there is an opportunity to do that if we can do it on a regional basis and we can get Rockford off of those negative lists that you refer to. There are so much going on there, and Woodward Governor is just one of them. But I think Rockford is poised to do some really significant things, but they're going to have to think regionally. They're going to have to take advantage of the things that are around them, and I think they're starting to see that.
Well, you kind of thought regionally when Nippon Sharyo was interested in coming to Rochelle.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the dog and pony show that you put on for them.
Well, I put on many, but I'll tell you who the participants were. And I knew I couldn't attract an international company to a town of 9,500 people that didn't have any Japanese influence to speak of at all. So I had to come up with something. So here's what we did. So we got John Anderson from the Anderson Japanese Garden to come and make all in the same day, in the same presentation. John Anderson from the Anderson Japanese Garden, which if you've never been there, you need to go. I got a hold of NIU's Japanese Cultural Studies Department, and the gentleman that came and spoke to the group spoke in Japanese for 10 minutes to my visitors and told them about the food, the culture, the education that associated with Japan. I had Kishwaukee College, who came and talked about their industrial development, industrial training center that they have at Kishwaukee College. And then the thing that really, I think, was very important was Eric Voiles of the Rockford Area Economic Development Council. He came and made a presentation on just the tremendous manufacturing heritage and history that our region has. And Voiles put on the front of that PowerPoint the Rochelle-Rockford regional presentation. That was a big step.
And that was an exercise in regional thinking.
It was an exercise in regional thinking, and Eric Voiles is one of those guys who really, really gets it. And then the last thing was we brought Denny Hastert in. And, of course, Hastert has a lot of connections in Japan.
Former Speaker of the House.
Former Speaker of the House, our former congressman from that region. And Denny, I'll kind of put it this way, Denny kind of sealed the deal. So, again, you're taking your elected officials, your educational institutions, you're taking your private industries, and you're bringing them all together to show unity and collaboration. And the outcome speaks for itself. Nippon Sharyo's got now $100 million in facilities that they're going to have constructed by the end of next year, almost 550 manufacturing jobs.
And so bringing Nippon Sharyo here created opportunities for other contacts in Japan.
Yeah,
right?
It success begets success. And so it took a long time, but that's the nature of working in the Asian cultures, is to build relationships that are built upon trust. And once we were there with Nippon Sharyo, they then wanted me to go with them to Japan, and I did, and to introduce me to some of their partners and introduce me to some of the industries they work with in Japan. And I had the wonderful fortune just a year ago to spend a week in Japan doing that.
It's amazing what you described, what went into landing Nippon Sharyo in terms of all the legwork and whatnot.
I could write a book. I probably should.
When you think about all the work you have to do to just land one company to get them to come to your area, can you talk about all the work that goes into it, especially someone who's not familiar with economic development and things you might not think of that your office has to do or your partners have to do to attract a company?
It's not unlike so many things in business. First of all, you've got to make sure you've got all the information and you've got all the relevant things that the company needs to know available, that they can see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. You got to show what you have. Secondly, you've got to make sure that you understand the value of building a relationship. Take the time. One of the things I did personally is I never turned off my phone for almost 2.5 years, and I knew when the Japanese team in the U.S. was going to Japan, and of course there's a 14-hour time difference, I took phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I answered their questions. If I didn't have an answer for them, at the edge of my bed, I waited till the morning where I could get to my office and I could provide the answers. When they know that you're thinking about them, when they know that you care, when they know that you've got the expertise and the energy and you put forth the effort to do everything you can to make it easy for them to make their decisions, and where there's obstacles or where there's bumps in the road, and oh my goodness, there were bumps in the road, you do everything you can to remove those obstacles and those bumps in the road. Of course, the relationship with the company, in this case, Nippon Sharyo, was just one relationship. I had to keep the relationships with Senator Durbin and Senator Kirk and Congressman Manzullo, had to make sure that they were on board and they knew what we needed and they knew what was going on. And, of course, where the opportunity was to introduce Nippon Sharyo to our elected officials, we made bonds there. So it's really, at the core, it's understanding the value of relationships and how you treat one another in responding to needs. Once you can be proven that you can solve problems, overcome obstacles, provide solutions to problems, and do it in a way that really builds confidence, you win.
Does Illinois' tax climate and its pension crisis and its seeming inability to solve political problems at the state level, its financial deficits, does that inhibit your ability to get people to come to Illinois?
Most recently, I've had a conversation with a number of projects that discussing Illinois and discussing the value of being here. What's kind of interesting is that everybody knows about Illinois' problems because they're well documented. Mm-hmm. They're in the media a lot, and so it's no secret. But what's interesting is right now, for instance, I'm working on seven projects. Seven. I didn't solicit them. They solicited me. Came to me to look at Rochelle. Three of them, I was told, said that we're talking to you reluctantly because we don't think Illinois is the place where we want to be, but we've seen what you've done. We see what's going on in your part of Illinois. We think we'd like to know more. So the problems that Illinois has are not insurmountable in the sense that we can attract businesses because of our location, being where we are in the United States, because of all the natural resources that are here, because of the transportation infrastructure that's here. Illinois has a lot going for it. And I honestly think, and this is a message, I guess, to all of our elected officials, if you simply would just get on about the business of solving a few of these problems and can show that we have the ability, just like I talked about with Nippon Sharyo, to solve problems, find solutions, and communicate effectively, things in Illinois could be so powerful economically. The development potential is so great, but anytime, whether it's the city council, the county board, or the Illinois State General Assembly or Congress, as long as there's division and there's conflict, who wants to get in the middle of somebody else's mess? We simply have to get that done, resolve that issue and that reputation.
And we should add that Nippon Sharyo makes passenger cars for railroads and commuter lines, like Metra.
They do, and that's what the first contract was. It was nearly a $600 million contract for Metra for Chicago. But now they've got contracts in California, Toronto, Washington, D.C. The ability for this company to have an influence nationwide on the transportation systems for commuters is huge, and it's located here in the center of the country.
It's obviously well documented that in this slow economic recovery, many, many people still looking for work, many people who were gainfully employed before the recession. For people who are almost given up hope in this area and who feel that nothing's going to happen, how do you restore faith in that person to let them know that brighter days might be ahead in terms of economic development mm-hmm. to possibly have more gainful employment down the road?
Yeah. I can speak only really from the city of Rochelle's perspective because that's what I know the best. In the city of Rochelle alone, in this next year, there will be over 500 new jobs created in automotive mechanic, truck maintenance, truck drivers, dispatchers, sales and marketing people. We know that Nippon Sharyo will hire welders and electricians and pipe fitters. In my region, in this area here alone, 500 new jobs in the next 12 months are going to be created. In the last 8 years, over 2,000 have been created. And I want to tell you something that's very, very disturbing, and that is we can't find the workers. I mean, some of these companies are telling me they're going to start looking at Indiana, Wisconsin, Missouri, Iowa to recruit, to find the workers. So if there's anybody who has these skills or just needs these skills upgraded, the junior colleges are working very hard to create fast certification programs to get people trained and retrained. I understand there's a lot of people out of work, but what I don't understand is why the companies have to go outside the state of Illinois to find their workers.
Right, and that's why it's so vital to bring the educational system up to speed. And one of the problems that I've seen over the last 30 years is that the high schools, which used to provide a lot of this training, got out of that business for some reason. Nobody ever asked why. And now we wake up and find they don't have it anymore. I think to rely on our community college system, I don't think they can do the job. I'm happy to see that Rockford Public Schools has now created the Academy concept and is having career fairs to put kids on a line to possibly go into industrial jobs where they were de-emphasizing it before. Now we've got the jobs coming in and we don't have enough people to fill them. So what's the answer there?
Well, we're working on the answer. In fact, we've been working on it for the last 3 years. There's two things that have developed right here in the immediate DeKalb Rochelle area. One of them is called Kish Career Link, and that's all about industries going on and putting a profile of the, what they do, who they are, what kind of jobs and careers they have, and then recruiting high schools to come along and then connect the students to the what's called Kish Career Link. These kids can go and they can do work-based learning activities. They can do internships, job shadowing, plant tours. These industries are so desperate for workers, they're bringing in people to speak to the schools, speak in assemblies, tell them about what's going on. In about 2 weeks, the DeKalb Ogle Workforce Consortium is holding what's called the Heavy Metals Tour. Isn't that a great title? Heavy Metals Tour, and they're taking, I think they've got about 50 students signed up, and they're going to be going to 8 locations, 3 in DeKalb County, or excuse me, 4 in DeKalb County and 2 in Ogle County, and they're taking these kids on tours of new of industries. Okay, they're calling it heavy metal, but industries in Rochelle, they're going to visit the Illinois River Energy Biofuels Plant, and they're going to visit the Ponchario. These 50 kids have shown an interest in wanting to know what industry is about today. In their history, they're going to learn about the Industrial Revolution. They're going to hear about all kinds of nasty, dirty things that happened in the development of industry. They're going to hear about a lot of things, and their perception is that industry pretty much today is a stinky, smelly, greasy, rotten job. But what they're going to find out is when they walk into these plants is that there's these programmable controllers where people in shirts and khakis are sitting behind a desk doing manufacturing work. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we've got to work on, and this is what's really exciting about the DeKalb Ogle Workforce Consortium, is we're going to start to change the mindset of what's happened with students so they can develop a propensity to want to stay here, work here, live here, raise families here.
Shifting gears here a little bit, getting back to what you were talking about earlier, that there needs to be a regional approach into attracting business to this area as opposed to communities doing it individually. With that in mind, is there still room for communities to compete against one another occasionally? Let's say you get a company that says, well, I'm looking at this community and that neighboring community, and obviously they're going to do their best to sell mm-hmm. themselves. Is there room for them to compete against one another but still not ruin their relationship for the greater good?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think Metro Denver is a perfect example of that. When I asked Mr. Clark, the director and CEO, he said this. He said, we market. $2 million a year they market this 9-county region. And what they realize is every community has different assets and amenities that can meet the needs of a prospective industry. So they get them to come to look at the region. And now they go, Littleton, Aurora, and Denver, you have buildings or facilities or sites that meet this particular industry's criteria. We're going to make sure that you get that this industry visits all three of you. Now, 3 different communities, 4 different counties, or whatever it turns out to, you let them go and compete. What you want to make sure you do is you attract them to the region. And because people, you know, let's face it, people where they live is not oftentimes where they work today. So you're benefiting the whole region. That model exists, and I think if we can begin to think differently and adopt that model, we don't have to be worried about competing with one another. Paul Borick over here in DeKalb County has got a whole list of buildings and sites. I have them in Rochelle. I assume Eric Voiles has them up in Rockford, you know, over in Belleville. We need to really identify what we have, and then we need to go out and just market, market, market.
Sure, because I grew up in Rockford. My dad worked in Loves Park. We didn't think of that as a different community, although politically it was. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the same region, and it's all part of our daily life, you know, and politicians need to catch up to the rest of us, I think.
Yeah, they do. They do. And as I said, legislative districts and boundaries and city boundaries have forever and ever divided us. Now we have to basically think beyond the boundaries.
Well, this has been a fascinating and enlightening discussion. Jason, thanks for what you're doing. It's an inspiration. And we know there are challenges, but we know there's a way to meet those challenges, too, in economic development here in northern Illinois. I'm Chuck Sweeney of the Rockford Register-Star.
And I'm Mike Moen from WNIJ News. Jason, thank you again.
Thanks so much for having me.